Specific way, and we desire, Father, to impart that this morning that Lord, we open our hearts for you, desire that threefold purpose of worship, where there be the quiet time, the song, and then there be the service, Lord. Father, without those, Father, it can't go. We just desire to fulfill our part now, knowing indeed, Lord, as Brother Lubanza says, if we do our part, you do your part. Father, help us that we do our part with all our hearts this morning. You be the unseen guest. Be, Lord, Father, the Lord conductor. Be, Lord, Father, the director of the symphony this morning as we rise higher in this human realm, Father, to that level, Father, where we see nothing but Jesus. We bless your name, we praise your name. Grant us grace, we ask. Bless those in route coming, and bless everything that we've done. Lord, the items, whatever, Lord, for the glory of your name. In Jesus' wondrous and holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing on that key C, the same note. Hallelujah. Amen. And we'll do our offering, Lord, before we do our items. We have James and come out. But before all that, before our offering, let's sing. Oh Lord,
you are so gracious to me.
Because you first come. Lord, Father, we just want to say thanks for all the things that you've done for us. Lord, Father, we just want to say thanks, Lord, Father, for all the healings, all the testimonies.
Amen.
We know, Lord, Father, there is so many things that happened before in so many families, people they've lost, their loved ones. There are so people who are not feeling well, Lord, Father. But, Lord, today we're here, Lord Father, to praise you once again, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We ask you this morning, Father, that you bless this place, Lord Father. That, Lord, you meet with each and every soul, Lord. And, Lord Father, we commit ourselves to you, Lord. There's no any other thing, Lord Father, that we prefer to do this morning. But, Lord Father, to come to you and to worship you, Lord Father. And to give all the things that we have into you, Lord. We bless you, we glorify this morning, Lord, as we, Lord, lift this basket for your people, Lord Father. They have sacrificed themselves, Lord Father, to give to you, Lord Father. Oh, Lord Father, to praise your word. We ask you once again that you bless each and every family, Lord Father.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, you be with them, all those even those that are traveling, coming back this place, Lord Father. We ask you, Lord Father, that you be with them, you travel with them till, Lord Father, we meet them again.
Amen.
We bless you and we ask all this service into your name, that, Lord, you come upon us and you touch each and every soul in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing one more song. I will ask James and Sister Kamala to sing for us. James and Sister Kamala. Amen. Let's sing that song. I know the master of the wind. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when you jump on the plane, simply switch off your phone. When you come into the house, so I switched off my phone because I could hear that. Let me respect the house of God. Must be a phone somewhere. Amen. My bottom line
sails the troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind, you might sail.
Bye.
Amen.
Just wanted to say thanks first of all to the saints who came yesterday for the funeral up in the north. It was a really good support. It was a nice time.
Amen.
To go and say, as far as a funeral can be, a good time, you know, when somebody's died in the Lord. Paul says we do not sorrow as others sorrow. So, you know, to me it was a real special day. Really did appreciate it. Really a good opportunity just to say farewell to our brother. You know, it's really touching to hear the testimony of his children.
Amen.
And that's one thing I really salute our brother for in his life. He brought all his children to the will of God.
Amen.
My friend, we can have a lot of other things. We can have big ministries. You know, we can have a lot of big learning business. And we don't have our children in the faith. We failed on a very big responsibility.
Hallelujah.
But though a man like Brother Sammy might not have been a big man in the world, had problems with his health, that he had struggles that he went through as a man, but he brought his children in.
Amen.
Yeah, and his three daughters are married to message believers, one's married to a minister in Portugal. And his sons, they serve the Lord, one's in Australia, looking for work there, and he goes to the message church. Then he's got his young boy. And to me, that was a great testimony.
Amen.
Because I think that really speaks a lot louder than many times the things we can testify is when we see those people that are have an influence over, when we see the sort of life that they live.
Amen.
So I was really, really happy for that. Each of the children expressing and just how important they find that intuition. And it really is important to us. I think people leave footprints in the sands of time. And let's really get a new focus on that once again as we go into this year. To remember, like I said, Brother Zalish, when he first came and visited us those years back, and Daniel was maybe 2 years old or so, and I got home, I'd been doing something, Brother Zalish was sitting there, he had Daniel on his lap, and he was reading some Bible stories to Daniel. It was really so nice, and he said to me, he said, "Brother, don't forget, this is your sheep." You know, and sometimes we can get so busy with other sheep. But friends, we've been given these precious sheep that are so close to us. And may the Lord help us to be faithful shepherds of them as our brother was. So I really did appreciate the testimony of our brother.
Amen.
And he's gone to rest.
Amen.
May the Lord help and bless his family in his absence. Brother Daniel and Sister Simona are saying they'd like to thank the Lord for providing us with an apartment. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Also, we want to remember, is this Sister Lily here? Yes. Sister Lily's sister-in-law in Brussels, she's not well, she's asking for prayer. Her name is Christine, so we remember her in prayer. Let's bow our heads before we approach him, saints. Let's bring these things before the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again, that we can come to this place. Father, it's not a place that's recognized by the great people of this earth. But Father, it's a place that's recognized by you.
Glory!
And Father, how many times you've met with us, Lord, even as we came to pray on Friday, to commune and to fellowship with you.
Amen.
Father, Lord, thank you for what you've done for us.
Amen.
And Father, we've brought our requests so many times. And Father, you've been so faithful.
Amen.
Even as our brothers testifying and our sister, Lord, of your goodness and your faithfulness.
Amen.
Our sister Lily, she's got this one of her sister of Christine, Lord. We lift her up to be upon this day.
Amen.
We unite ourselves together, Lord, Father, just in simplicity.
Amen.
And we'll ask of you, Lord, that you administer grace, that you administer your mercy. You see that situation, you see that circumstance, Lord, and you are the answer.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, all we desire to do is to call Jesus on the scene.
Hallelujah.
Father, as we open up the Holy Scriptures, bless us. Won't you guide us and lead us and help us, Lord? Father, we need you. We need your leadership each step of the way. We long to finish this course with joy. So help us once again this day as we can all to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's open the scriptures. Let's open Luke chapter 24, first of all, just to get a quote from there. Now, when you go as well, like yesterday, you go to a funeral, and really, now, when you leave a funeral and you go to the cemetery and you bury somebody's body, you hear the testimony of that person's life and you realize that person's finished their course. But there's nothing else they can do. You know, it really makes you inside of yourself look and say, but Lord, I really want to finish my course.
Amen.
The way you want me to finish the course. You know, because this world has the tendency of getting us out of focus if you're not careful. But we'd like to pull us into this and pull us into that. And we can easily stray into things. And that's why Solomon said it's better to go to the house of weeping than it is to go to the house of laughter. Because then men consider their ways. They consider the end of their ways. And when you go to you really consider that this life is so finite. Now the brother who died was only 58 years old. I mean, that's not old. You know, the prophet died when he was 56. You know, we don't know how many years we've been given since. We don't know. Brother Samuel, last year, this time, I'm sure he never ever dreamed it was his last year. That before he got to the end of 2017, you know, he's going to be called home now. You know, and friends, I would really say it's really a good time for us to focus and focus once again and tighten things up and really consider yourself. Consider your walk with the Lord. Consider your calling inside of your life. And that's what I'd just like to focus on a little bit today as we get into a few things. Let's read Luke chapter 24. Very familiar. Brother Eddie was preaching on this for a couple of Wednesdays. The men on the way to Emmaus. And in verse 25, it says, "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Let's also read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. The Apostle Paul exhorting us. "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's our desire. We want to rightly divide the word of truth. We would like to look at it. Let's pray once more. Oh, Father, we bring this word up into you. Just wanting your leadership, just wanting your direction. Father, with these flu and things going around, Lord, you weaken our bodies. Many of us are upon this day. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that there's something eternal in us.
Amen.
That never gets weak. Father, Lord, that never feels the pressure.
Amen.
And Father, it's you that's in us. So Father, we just yield ourselves unto you. Express yourself upon this day. As you express yourself in song. Father, visit us. Father, visit our souls. Overshadow us. Draw nigh unto us.
Hallelujah.
Father, your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's be seated. A really bad voice. Sore throat, so appreciate your prayers tonight. Daniel's at home, he's got a big fever. It's like a time I couldn't come. Now, this one I call it Australian fever. They give all these nice names to these things. They call it this. We don't care what it is, just be careful. That's what it is. So we'd like to look at this from that scripture of rightly dividing the word of truth. But I want to take this word of truth a little bit further than maybe you would think what it is. You know, it's very easy to apply this just to the written word. But let's not ever forget one thing, that we are the word made flesh.
Amen.
So whatever we can speak of concerning the scriptures of rightly dividing the word of truth, it's exactly the same in our lives. And where I got this thought was between Christmas and New Year, just when we had, you know, time off and had some visitors and so forth. I went through all of the questions and answers in COD of 1964, August, when the prophet did the four different sets of questions and answers. And to me, it was such a powerful thing. You know, the first thing that really struck me going through those questions and answers was, if we were to take seriously, especially us as ministers, if you were to take serious, just go and take those questions and answers, August 64. Just maybe it's about 10 hours if you listen to them on the tapes. If we as ministers in this message had just listened to the divine counsel of the prophet, we wouldn't have any of these issues in the Bible. We wouldn't have anybody telling us we're in the millennium, because inside of it he tells us we're not in the millennium. We wouldn't have anybody telling us grace is over, because he answers those questions in here.
Amen.
And he shows us clearly that grace is not over.
Amen.
Wouldn't have anybody saying you don't need to listen to anybody else, you just need to listen to the tapes, because he shows us clearly inside of those questions that just staying at home and listening to the tapes, if you can go to church, is wrong.
Amen.
You know, and just so many of the things which you find have caused this factionalism inside of the bride. It's simply because we never followed the divine counsel of the prophet.
Amen.
And it's the same as in our own lives. Whenever we get ourselves in trouble, Whenever we lose the vision, whenever we find ourselves in the wilderness, like we were speaking at New Year, and Brother Wood was speaking of divine counsel on that time, if you trace it back to the from that time when that started, it's when you never heeded divine counsel. And especially the divine counsel of the prophet. Yeah, and it was so outstanding to me, just question after question. And the other thing which really struck me when I started to get into this is that we are people of extreme. Yeah, I mean, we are real people. If left to ourselves, without the grace of God, without the leadership of the Holy Ghost, without ministry inside of our lives, like if the Lord hadn't have sent a prophet to us, we are people of extremes. We are sheep. We easily go astray. Now we'll end up going into this extreme. The people saying to the prophet, now should we all come and live in Arizona? Now we understand the rapture is only going to take place in Arizona. Well, the rapture is only going to take place within 1,500 miles of the tabernacle. People asking questions like that time and time again. And then people asking the prophet, are you Jesus? Are you the son of, are you the son of man? And people asking questions like, does God change his name from dispensation to dispensation? And you can see what they're saying. They're trying to show that the prophet is the new name of God. Now, I really saw it in going through those questions. My... You know, we so much are dependent upon being under divine orders.
Amen.
That if just left to ourselves, let me give you an example like this. If you took your Bible and said, okay, I'm offended with people, with Christians, with message believers, and you went to live out in the wilderness, and you just took your Bible, would you ever get the correct interpretation of the word?
No.
You never would. Because look what the denominations have done, taken the same Bible that we've got, and led people this way, led people that way. Some people say we have to keep the Sabbath day. You know, some people say we've got to all speak in tongues. And, you know, there's such a diversity of counsel that people would give you if you're trying to follow the Lord. That, friends, if you just try to do it yourself, you can't do it.
Amen.
Now, if you just went out on yourself and say, just leave me alone. And so how much is it exactly the same inside of our own lives?
Amen.
Now, inside of our own lives, you can't just be a one man. Body of Christ.
Mm.
Now, some people want to separate themselves from the body and they think they can define and all that kind of stuff. And it really doesn't work, friends.
Amen.
Because Hallelujah. That word that God has for your life, that word, that prophecy of your life, in order for that to unfold itself, you've got to work in the right channel. You've got to be working in the right channel. And that's why we've got to be careful. The question's not to me. It's so much demonstrated to me how dependent we are. When the Lord likens us to sheep, I perfectly said that. I said, I understand
Amen.
That perfectly. Every single one of us, if we're left to ourselves, we'll take ourselves and our families into the wilderness. You'll take yourself into a death walk. No, you will take yourself like Lot down into Sodom, thinking it's a good idea, getting yourself completely out of the prophetic channel of the day and the age that you're living in. And friends, we'll think so many times that we're right. You know, but we have to be so very careful as we rightly divide this word of truth.
Amen.
Even inside of our lives, even inside of our callings and our commissions, and you know, the purpose that God has inside of our lives, we've got to be careful.
Amen.
And God is gracious and he'll minister us back into balance.
Amen.
If we're in the right place. That's why Amen. God gives us Ephesians 4.
Amen.
He gives us ministry, apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists. What for? For the perfecting of the saints.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That we no longer be children tossed
Amen.
To and fro by every wind of doctrine, Amen. Taking us this way and that. And I think we need to really, really understand that.
Amen.
That, friends, will never prosper outside of the family of God.
Amen.
That's right.
That God has never ordained a believer to prosper outside of the family of God.
Amen.
There's only one body, there's only one calling and one hope
Amen.
Of your calling. And the real key to successful Christian life I've seen, to someone walking with God, to walking in the vision that God has for your life, and for you fulfilling your purpose in this life, your adoption, like Brother Max was reading about every one of us having a purpose on Friday,
mm-hmm.
is finding yourself the correct place in the body of God.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, you find sometimes people take an offense. They don't want to come to church. If they come to church, they just want to even sit at the back. They don't want to partake of anything the church partakes of. You are on a death walk.
Amen.
That is a sure way of losing
Amen.
The vision. That is a sure way of just spending a lot of time and getting nowhere. No matter what happens inside of your life, no matter what misunderstanding is coming, sort it out.
Amen.
It's so important for a believer to be in the right standing with the family of God.
Amen.
It's so important. You don't realize how important that it is.
Amen.
You know, I was yesterday when we were sitting afterwards at the hall, I had this real good time speaking to Brother Tommy's dad, Brother Billy McKinstry. And he was telling me his testimony, his life story. It was very powerful. I really would like him to come and tell it sometime. In the 1960s, around 68, 69, he'd already got some of Brother Ram's books. He was a Pentecostal. He was an evangelist. He went down to Cork, Brother Billy McKinstry. And he was down there. And then he was mistreated by the church. He was in a Pentecostal church. And they accused him of misusing the church's money. Yet there were times he didn't even have food on the table and so forth. So he took an offense. And he left there and said, I'm going to leave the ministry. I'm going to go back up to Northern Ireland. They were living in Dromore. Now I'm going to go get myself a job. And he says, and I left. I left the church. And he says, and I would go home. I'd still say, okay, I'll read my Bible. I can be a believer by myself. He says, and I learned quickly, it's not possible.
Amen.
He says, after a while, things start to stray.
Mm.
He says, and the next thing I started to see in the lives of my children, I started to see Tommy going astray, getting in trouble with the police. He says, and then the one night, he says, my wife, Sister Ray, she had a dream. And she woke up in the night and woke him up and said, Billy, we need to pray for Tommy because if he continues the life that he's living, he's going to die. She had dreamt a dream of him stealing a car and crashing the car and dying in the car accident. And that night, Brother Tom and his friend stole a car, smashed the car, and as the car was smashed, a fence post they hit went right through the car, right between them. Anyone in the passenger seat? No, so Brother Billy now he started to see, but hey, this one here of me just staying at home, separating myself from the body of Christ, it's not helping me, that's not helping my family.
Amen.
So he said, I thought, let me go and seek the Lord as I used to in the days of my youth. And so he went out into the woods, had this place, used to go and hunt, and used to go and pray. He got on his knees and he started to pray. He says, normally in the days gone by, God would come down with prophecy, or God would come down with some, you know, revelation or something. He says, the sky was like brass. And he says, and a voice came and said to me, you think God's going to hear you with that pipe in your pocket and that tobacco down there? He says he got himself so discouraged, but he cried out unto the Lord. He says he went back home and he was wondering what had happened inside of his life. And there was a bill, something that needed to be paid. And he picked up the pen to sign at the bottom of whatever this bill was. And on the pen was the scripture. And the scripture was, be still and know that I'm God.
Amen.
Amen.
And he said that scripture spoke so strongly to me, he just started shouting.
Amen.
He said, God is going to, he has heard my prayers. God is going to do something for
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
Yes. And he says, a few days after that, Brother Tommy got saved. But he was in trouble with the police. Him and his friend had stolen a Porsche. Stolen a Porsche, went joyriding in a Porsche, dumped the Porsche, and the police suspected that it was him. And they came to him, to the house. Now, Brother Tom had just got saved. He'd already been in prison once. He actually went to prison twice, Brother Tom. And the police came now, and one policeman told, who was a friend of this, told Brother Tom, he said, if you don't admit it, they've got no proof. All you have to say is you didn't do it. They don't have any proof. It's their word against yours. So Brother Tom now came to his dad and said, Dad, I'm a Christian. What am I supposed to do here? Now the police are going to come back and they're going to ask me about this car. What am I supposed to tell them? And Brother Billy said, I told him something. I said, son, where's the Bible?
Amen.
This is where you find your answer.
Amen.
Because if I'm your dad and I tell you now to lie to them, when something else comes up inside of your life and there's a condemnation because of what you've done, you're going to look back and say, this is my dad's fault.
Mm.
If I tell you now, you go and tell them the truth, and they put you back in jail once again, while you're going to be sitting in jail, you're going to be saying, this is my dad's fault. So the best thing, you go and pray, and you go and see what God's word says, and you do that.
Amen.
He says, and Brother Tom went to pray for a few days, and says, Dad, I'm going to tell them the truth.
Mm.
And Brother Billy said, that's exactly the right thing.
Mm. Amen.
Brother Tom went and told the police the truth and they did not.
Amen.
They didn't get away with it, friends. Jesus dropped the charges.
Hallelujah.
I really learned a lesson from that when I saw that. I saw, friends, we only prosper.
Amen.
Remember the conditions of a fulfillment of a vision. It's got to be the right people in the right place.
Amen.
At the right time.
Amen.
That's how a vision is fulfilled. If the people aren't all there, it's the same in your life. In order for the vision of your life to be fulfilled, you've got to have the right people in the vision.
Amen.
You've got to be in the right position, the right place, at the right time.
Amen.
Now that's what it is. God has a specific purpose.
Amen.
For you. Has a specific thought for you to be at a certain place at a certain time. That may change over time. You know, God has his purposes. He has this great purpose inside of himself, the mystery of his will. But friend, if you want the vision in your life, if you look at other believers and you say, but it seems this brother, this sister, they just seem to push on all the time. You know, I mean, they go through hardships, they go through the same things as the rest of us, but they never seem to lose their motivation.
Amen.
They never seem to lose their zeal, the enthusiasm that they speak about on Wednesday. They're enthused in the things of God. It's because of this simple principle.
Amen.
They don't look at circumstances, they're looking at the vision.
Amen.
And they know there's certain people that are part of the vision.
Amen.
And that I'm supposed to be in a certain place at a certain time. And when you take yourself out of the vision because of whatever cause, friend, you're in the permissive will of God.
Amen.
When you take yourself out of the will of God, and then trouble starts coming inside of your life. This is what the prophet says, and I've read this one before, in the Absolute. He says, well, I've actually read this on Friday, but in another context, listen, I want to tell you something. He had a purpose in saving me. He had a purpose in saving you. And I'm determined by his will to do it.
Amen.
To do what? This purpose.
Yeah.
Now, friend, what is your purpose?
Yes. Yeah.
Why did he save you?
Amen. Amen.
That's the vision that you're supposed to be fulfilling.
Yes.
That's a vision you're supposed to be working on.
Hallelujah.
And that vision isn't a one-man vision.
Amen.
A one woman, in the days of the one-man vision are over.
Yes. Mm. Amen.
Elijah was the one-man scripture.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll send you Elijah, I'll send you the seventh angel. But the time of the prophecy concerning one man has been fulfilled.
Yes. Mm. Amen.
It's now a body move.
Amen.
It's now no longer just one person, it's now John who represents the bride.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Amen.
So he says, I'm determined by his will to do it.
Yes.
Amen.
And then he continues on, he says, not to add to it.
Mm.
And not to take away from it.
Amen.
Then he quotes Revelation 22:19.
Mm.
Let's just read that once again.
Amen.
Revelation 22:19, because, and I've spoken of this before, but we read the scripture so many times and we think of adding to the word and taking away from the word, meaning only this word. No. It applies to the word, the prophecy of your life as well.
Amen.
But you can't add or take away from God's word. You are God's word in this.
That's right.
Because you are the word made flesh. We are the word bride. You can't take away from God's word for your life, the vision that he has for your life, and expect things are going to prosper or add to it. You're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. Revelation 22, verse 19. Let's read from 18. For I testify unto every man that he has the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are in the book. So this is where plagues start coming into your life. Trouble starts when you start adding to God's
prophet.
What happened to King Uzziah? There was a prophecy for his life. He was a king. He had a calling and a vision. And as long as he surrounded himself by the people of the vision, as long as he sat under the ministration of the prophet in his age, but friend, then there came a time now that he thought, his heart felt lifted up. And he thought now he could add to the vision. He thought now that instead of just being a king, he could go and do the role of a priest. And he went in and he took the golden censer, and God had ministry there to minister him back into balance.
Hallelujah.
Because we are people on the extreme. And the Levites, the priesthood, rose up against him and said, O King Uzziah, this appertaineth not unto you to offer incense. This will not bring honor upon you from the Lord. And he got angry now. And he pushed himself in and he went to offer incense. And what happens? The plagues came.
Amen.
The leprosy struck him straight away.
Amen.
And now he was separated from the house of the Lord. He had to live in a leper's house, several houses called right to the days of his death. Friend, that's the importance of not adding to the vision inside of your life.
Amen.
And friend, how do we make sure we don't do sheep and go astray? You need ministration.
Amen.
It's the word. It's the anointed word. It's God in his church will minister you back into that. It can be through the ministry. It can be through your brother and your sister.
Amen.
Remember Naaman when he had the leprosy?
That's right.
Yeah, and he got angry at the prophet. No, at the brother who came and gave him the word of the prophet. And it was that young man who ministered him back into Elijah.
Amen. Amen.
His young servant, just we don't even know the name of the young man. But that was God's grace to him.
Amen.
When that young man said, oh Lord King, you know, I mean, if he had asked you to do some big thing, you would have done it. But he just asked you to do something small. He just
Amen.
Said, don't dip yourself 7 times in the river. And the moment that the king submitted himself and allowed the word to minister him back into balance, minister him back into that channel that God had for his life, and he went to the right place at the right time according to the instructions of the prophet, God delivered the man of his leprosy.
Mm.
You know, we need each other, friends.
Amen.
You realize that. But you find those people that never become part of the local body, they never prosper spiritually inside of them.
That's right.
They never do. They never seem to have vision or purpose. They'll just be where they were last year and they're in the same place or even worse off this year. Now they can still quote the quotes. They still come to church. But you should play an active part. Because the prophet said, when Christ saved you, he saved you for a purpose.
Amen. Amen.
And what are gifts for? To edify the body.
That's right.
It's to minister
Amen.
To the body, Paul says.
Amen.
You have your part that you alone can play.
Amen.
Don't add
Amen.
To that. Don't take away from that.
Amen.
That's what the prophet said in absolute. That's God as there is your absolute. That's why it says it in verse 19. It says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. Taken away. Don't take away from the calling of God inside of your life.
Amen.
That's what Brother Billy tried to do. God called him into ministry as an evangelist. What does he do? He took away from the vision. He got himself offended with the things of God. And what happens now? The plague starts coming. The trouble starts coming inside of his life. You know what I mean? Making those mistakes, friends.
Amen.
These are not mistakes that you want to be making. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life. Oh my. And out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. So don't add or take away.
Amen.
That's why the prophet says, he had a purpose in saving me. I'm determined by his will to do it, not to add to it or take away from it. Revelation 22:19, if you want to put that down.
Amen.
That's a sober warning, friends.
Amen.
But the reason he's given it as a sober warning is that there's such a blessing when you're in the right position.
Yeah.
When you're in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Amongst the right people.
Amen.
Think what a blessing that it is.
Amen.
Heaven is open. The prophetic channel of your life. The prophetic channel of your adoption is open to you. You're walking with Christ in your age now.
Yes. Amen.
Like Enoch, you're walking with God. You're making progress. There's a progressive revelation that takes place. But when you become like Lot, and you think it's okay, I don't need to stay with the prophet and his message. I can go down anywhere. I can prosper as a man. I'll show those people I don't need them. You see, that happens in the lives of people.
Yes, that's right.
I'll show them. Yeah, look, we had strife there in church. There were these troubles between our herdsmen and their herdsmen. I wasn't happy the way that issue was handled. Whatever that it was that Lot had inside of himself. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife? So you can tell who was the one that was when they were home about that issue was Lot's wife.
That's right.
Nobody need to be here. Can't you see the people down there? They do well enough. They worshiping fine down there in Sodom. And then Lot makes that decision. It was the worst decision he ever made in his life.
That's right.
And it didn't only cost him, it cost his wife her soul. It cost his daughter never defiled. He lost his sons-in-law in the city. But you don't realize sometimes these personal offenses that we take.
Amen.
And then we make these big decisions, which should be spiritual decisions, which require counsel, prayer, do it advisably, the prophet said.
Amen.
But instead, we make it up inside of ourselves. And we allow the devil to work. We'll see just now a question. We allow the devil to work on the outside something, the prophet said. When we should be focusing on the inside something, which is the word inside there. That's the thing we should be focusing on. And it's Satan's duty, the prophet says, to fight against that inside
Amen.
Something. And how does he fight against it? He comes against the outside
yes.
something.
Amen.
Your reasoning, your memory, your emotions, all these different things that take place amongst people. And friend, this is a key that I've learned in my years as a believer. I've seen so many people come and go. So many.
Amen.
So many people from when we became believers came and go. But there's just certain people that just move on with God.
Amen.
They have the same hardship, same sorrow, same misfortune, same trials, same disappointments as other people. They have the same valleys they have to go through as the other people. But these people just keep moving on.
Amen.
And they become a blessing in your life.
Amen.
They can become a blessing to the church of God. What is the difference between these people and the other ones like Lot? Friends, some people keep their eyes on the right thing. Some people realize I was called for a purpose.
Amen.
He died for me.
Amen.
He shed his blood for me. He redeemed me at the greatest price.
Yeah.
So what's the most important thing for me in my life? Is to please him.
Amen.
Is to do his will. Is to achieve the purpose that he redeemed me for. It's got to be your focus. You're absolutely
Amen.
The prophets. That's the message. Absolute. Is this word that he has for your life. This prophetic vision
Amen.
That God has for your life. That's what you're going to keep coming back to.
Yes.
And when you lose the focus, get refocused
Amen.
Once
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
And whenever you go and wait upon him and spend time in his presence, put on those messages
Amen.
And allow the Lord to minister you back at you. The balance that he wants you to be.
Amen.
That's a real key, this one.
Yes.
But on the other hand, I've seen gifted people. Gifted, gifted, gifted people. That have absolutely failed to use their gift. Because they took an offense with the body of Christ. What did Paul say? He says, this is the reason that many are sick. Or weak and sickly among you. And many sleep. Many are taken home early.
Amen.
Failing to discern the body of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, friends, it's a serious thing.
Amen.
When you find spiritual sickness inside of your life, that's generally speaking, you're failing to discern the body of the Lord.
Amen.
You're failing to discern who you are amongst. That this is the family of God.
Amen.
This is the bride of Christ. Friend, there's no higher calling than being a part of the bride.
Amen.
Like I said before, in the days of Hudson Taylor, when one of the missionaries left, took some offense as well and became an ambassador. And Hudson Taylor, yet one of his missionaries, wrote to him and said, oh, I feel so sorry for Brother So-and-so. He's come so low from going from a missionary to an ambassador. But to the world, it's the other way around.
That's right.
But it's absolutely the truth. You might become Bill Gates in this life, but if that's not your calling,
yes.
I feel sorry for you.
Amen.
Because if you call to something else,
Amen.
And you don't become so prosperous in this area of life, but God had a vision and a purpose in this area of your life.
Amen.
You've missed the whole point.
Amen.
And that's why, friends, we really need to consider the purpose to which he called us.
Amen.
We need to do that.
Amen.
Let's stop being fringe believers. There's so many people are fringe believers.
Amen.
Yeah, if something's happening in the church, yeah, they'll be there on a Sunday. But you try to get something going in the church. Let's have prayer meetings. So let's have this. They're not there. And it's like, where are they?
Amen.
And when God looks down, ask yourself. God has a vision and a purpose just as much as he has a prophecy for your life. He has a prophecy for the church. He has a word he wants to fulfill. He has a purpose for the gathering of his people together. We don't gather here just for nothing. We gather here under a divine purpose. There were years and years and years there was no massive church in Dublin. When we first came and we spoke to the other ministers in the north and Brother George Quinn and Donald said many times they tried coming to Dublin. Tried testifying on the streets, trying to start something up, and in the end they thought themselves, nothing will ever start in Dublin. There's such a hard spirit in that place. But God didn't think like that.
Amen.
God had the right people at the right time to fulfill this divine vision.
Amen.
And I'm so glad to be a part of that vision.
Amen.
And friend, if you want to prosper in this, let's catch the vision.
Amen.
Because if God has put you here in this season, I don't think he made a mistake.
Amen.
That's true.
I don't think God makes mistakes. but it's people who don't get themselves involved. They don't really take their gifts and their abilities and their talents. Come and lay them at His feet, Lord. Now let you use me now.
Mm.
You find those people that generally start losing the vision. And they start getting themselves involved in other things in life. Now they're getting big into education, they get big into other things. They start focusing on all these other secondary, but important things, but that's not the primary goal of a believer.
That's right.
It's because we've lost the vision. Mm. That doesn't mean you lose the ability to quote the quotes. That doesn't mean you lose the ability to listen to the prophet's messages.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you lose the ability to be able to say the right things to people. But it's like the backstabbing heart.
Amen.
There's no outward symptoms, but something's happened in there.
Amen. Amen.
And sometimes it takes a long time, and when disease strikes the body, you may know that you have sickness in your body, but people don't see it for a long time.
Amen.
In order for that sickness to progress to such an advanced stage that it's outwardly visible, it's normally been a long time that it's taken to bring it to that.
Amen.
And it's the same as backsliding in the life of a believer.
Mm.
When you find somebody stops coming to church today, that started a long time back, my friends.
Right.
There came spiritual disease in there. Something was added. Something was taken away. You never handled something the right way. Because friends, offenses must come, Jesus said.
That's right.
Every one of us will have to go through offenses.
Mm.
No, we have to. That's just the way that it is.
Mm.
That's the testing, the reaction to an action that the prophet says.
Mm. Mm.
Nothing happens to a believer by chance. God is behind every move. He's testing your reaction to an action.
Amen.
And so much of the progression in your spiritual life depends on how you react to that action.
Amen. Amen.
That's how when something happens inside of your life, don't fly off the handle.
Yes.
Don't just quickly allow your natural temperament to take a hold of you. Now be careful what you say. Be careful how you act at that kind of a time. Rather shut yourself in the secret place for a while. And say, Lord, how would you want me to handle the situation? And you'll find you'll bring a lot less sorrow to yourself and to your family, to those that are around you. But that's a big mistake that Lot made. And who is this Melchizedek? The prophet says, now, we see here plainly the complete secret of our lives. He's speaking of your theophany. He's speaking of Melchizedek and the theophany. And he says that Levi was in the loins of Abraham. Yeah. Before he was born. So the prophet is saying that this vision, this purpose that God had, it was there a long time before you were born.
Amen.
And this is the secret of your life.
Mm.
This is the mystery of your life. This is the mystery of His will.
Mm.
And your and my great task in this life is one. Is to discover that mystery.
Yes.
Is to fulfill that secret. Is to fulfill that purpose. And if we seek that first, all these other things will be added unto us.
That's right.
He'll add everything else inside of your life.
Mm.
If your focus is on this,
hallelujah,
and seeking this mystery of His life. Now, we all call as individuals. Listen to this questionnaire that the sister asked concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a very good question because the prophet's going to answer it to show us the individuality of it.
Amen.
Now, he gives us some very good insight concerning this mystery of our lives. Page 1070. It's question 328. So the question's about the Holy Ghost. And the prophet now uses this question and starts speaking about a sister that he had in private counsel that day who was also worried that she didn't have the Holy Ghost. Because she had never spoken in tongues. She had never had some experience like that. You know, so the prophet, first of all, he speaks about her and he says, yes, the person is a genuine person, a real person, and they've lived right. And they've heard me say the evidence of the Holy Ghost isn't speaking in tongues, and it isn't. But I advise that person to ask God to let them either speak in tongues or prophesy, because it's their nature.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. So the prophet now, he's giving a perfect balance here.
Amen.
He comes in church, and because of many Pentecostal people, we were the same when we were in Pentecost. Every one of us had to speak in tongues, otherwise you didn't have the Holy Ghost. Now all the people come in the message, the prophet says, that's not scriptural. Not everyone has to speak in tongues.
Amen.
God has diversities of ministries.
Yes, sir.
Generally speaking, in the bride, when people speak of gifts of the Spirit, it's two things, tongues and prophecy. But they forget about gifts of miracles, healings, faith, knowledge, wisdom. There's many gifts of the Spirit. There's five ministerial offices, which are prophecies of gifts of the Spirit. There's so many different manifestations, people that are given to pray, intercession, and so forth. There's so many different things that God can use you for.
Amen.
But the key He's going to give us here, He's going to use you according to the way that He made you.
Amen.
Amen.
There's no one size fits all here.
Yes. Amen.
If God wants one person to speak in tongues, that's because He made them like that.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And if He didn't make you like that, don't try to speak
Amen.
In tongues.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Not going to do you any good.
Amen.
That's what He's going to show us here.
Amen.
He says, the first thing I went to that person and found out their birthplace. What sign they were born under. And could tell what their birth was. Which way it set in their natural nature. Set them in a certain line. Friend, even your genetics is a mistake.
Amen.
The prophet says, God took your grandmother and grandfather, brought them from here, brought
yes,
from
sir.
There, bred them together until you came to your father and mother because you wanted to get a certain ding in the belt. You wanted a certain mix which is different
Amen.
From everything else. So that in a certain season, a certain time, you can ding in a certain way.
Amen.
And the prophet says that. He says that go and study the way that God has made someone. He says that way, which way they'll sit in their natural nature.
Amen.
Paul was studious all the
Amen.
Days of his life. And God used that.
Amen.
God converted into the spiritual. Right?
Amen.
But when Paul came and preached about Hebrews, where did he get all of that from?
Amen. That's right.
The tabernacle and all those kind of things, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel.
Amen.
God didn't make a mistake in allowing Paul for a season to sit at the feet of Gamaliel.
Amen.
It was important, and God took that which, obviously taking it through the filter of what was of men and what was of God,
Amen.
But God then took that into His heavenly calling. And when He met the pillar of fire on the stage, God quickened those things to Paul.
Amen.
Amen.
The prophet says about Moses, he says, how did Moses know how to shepherd 2 million people in the wilderness? Think of us trying to even arrange a convention. Trying to get 40 people to Avoca on time for the youth meeting. It's not an easy thing.
That's right.
Because Moses had been a great general in the army.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, God allowed him to go through that for a season. To learn those kind of
Amen.
Things, those natural leaning that he already had inside of his life.
Amen.
And then God converted and quickened that and used it in His kingdom.
Amen.
And that's the key, friends, to understand that you are unique.
Amen.
You are individual. God didn't make a mistake when He made you the way that you
Amen.
Are. God wanted you to be black,
Amen.
Black, white if you white, mixed race if you mixed race. God wanted you to be Polish if you're from Poland, Ghanaian if you're from Ghana. He didn't make any mistakes.
Amen.
He knows what He's doing. And if you'll commit that natural line into yourself, one day you will understand why He made you.
Amen.
That's the mystery of His world. This is the secret of your life.
Hallelujah.
This is the divine prophecy, the channel of prophecies that God opens up for you to walk in inside of your life when you walk with Him. And in this prophecy, like I said, there's other people to walk with you at certain times. Now, Paul needed certain people at certain times. You and I need certain people at certain times. But we need all the time ministry to minister us back into balance.
Amen.
I'm thinking it's in the millennium.
Yes.
Or you'll think Brother Brown's God. Or all manner of things that believers were asking the prophet. And the prophet had to come with that gift and minister them through questions and answers
Amen.
Back into balance again.
Amen.
Back into the channel that they were supposed to be walking in. But Satan's going to do all that he can to move you from that channel.
Amen.
So the prophet says that natural line. Then he says, listen, the outward conscience moves you in one way. So this is where now he said, God's allowed you to be born the way you are, but be careful. Because that natural man's going to have his own ambitions as well. He's not born again. He's going to want to marry who he wants to marry. He's going to want to live where he wants to live. He's going to want to do what he wants to do. Like Paul. He has his own ambition. So he says the outside conscience, that's your natural birth. He says, then you are spiritual man. He says that puts you in a spirit condition. Now it just depends on which one you're going to focus on.
Yes.
He's now in a split condition. He says the inside. He says the inside man will always say, I know that lines up with the scripture.
Yes.
And they'll start to do it. They call him. And the first thing you know, Satan on this outside will show them some kind of defect. Friend, if God calls me to preach, what's the best way of me getting discouraged? The world. No. It's when they get the business of somebody.
That's right.
Yeah. An unexpected person many, many times. And that person just gets a spirit of criticism on them. And they'll criticize you harshly. And it's Satan's working on the outside man now. Because now you started to walk in the channel of the prophecy of your calling. You're starting to fulfill the word, the secret of your life. You're starting now to walk in a harmony with your theophany, your word body. So what's Satan going to do? He works from the outside. You said he comes now to try to pull you out of that channel. That's his job to do. So he comes now to work on that. Probably says Satan on this outside will show them all kinds of defects. And it doesn't come to me and say, you don't preach well. He'll come to other people and say
that's
that.
Right.
And friends, sometimes we need it if it's constructive criticism.
Yeah, amen.
Sometimes we need that because maybe we're getting unbalanced, we're getting out of the spirit, we're focusing on the wrong things, and we need the honest advice and criticism of people that are in the vision with us.
Amen.
To bring us back into the balance. But the prophet says, but the problem is then they listen to Satan. You've got to take that inside symbol. That what's on the inside of you, that's scriptural.
Yes.
Because a genuine born-again predestined believer, you are just as much the word in you as Jesus was the word. But he was the full ocean, you the teaspoonful.
That's right.
But it's the same word in you. You have your word to fulfill.
Amen.
You have your portion to play in the word.
Amen.
Satan's going to try to get you to focus on the outward. So the prophet says, don't let Satan stand anywhere. That's his duty, to stand there and pound at you like that. But don't you listen to him. Friends, how many times have you listened to him? I'll tell you how many times you listen to him. Every time you've lost the visions because you listen to the devil.
That's right.
Every time you moved out of the prophetic calling that God called you to, it's because you listen to the devil.
Amen.
But sometimes it's in an unexpected way. The prophet goes to Mishawaka. You see what happens here? Just the people of the vision.
Amen.
He's supposed to, his calling, his prophetic channel is supposed to now operate amongst these Pentecostal people.
Amen.
God has prepared these people for the prophet, and he's prepared the prophet for these people. And the vision comes together at Mishawaka. And the prophet now is listening to the outside man. I can't go up there and preach. I've got these CS sucker trousers on. I don't have my ministerial garments. And he hides himself away. And God is just bringing the prophet into the channel again. The man says, here he is. Here he is. And then the prophet gets up and goes and preach. As soon as he gets him, not even having a text, he just opens his Bible and his eye falls on the scripture. And he lifted up his eyes in hell. And then he cried. And friend, the channel opens up. The people are screaming, the altar's full, the prophet doesn't even know what's taking place. He finds himself outside at the end of the meeting. So many people are coming, please, come and hold a meeting for us. I'm Elder So-and-so from Texas. Come and hold a revival for us. I'm so-and-so, so-and-so. The prophet was so enthused. Friends, whenever you start working inside of that channel, you're enthused.
That's right.
There's a stimulation of revelation inside of yourself because you're walking with him. You can see progress has been made. You're getting somewhere. You know, if I can just keep on like this, we're going to get somewhere.
Amen.
But it's the devil's responsibility to work on the outside.
Amen.
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 So the prophet goes back home now, and what's there? Sister Hope and her mother. And Sister Hope says, I'll go with you anyway. The prophet goes along home, speaks to his mom. He says, Billy, may the Lord bless you. Do whatever God's leading you to. But then Mrs. Brumback. The German lady, Mrs. Brumbeck. You not taking my daughter out amongst that filth. Amongst that trash is the word she is. That's the offscourings, that's the people that were thrown out by the other churches. Yet this was the cream of the crop.
Amen.
This word, these were the people of the vision. And the prophet now, what does he do? He sees his wife crying. He sees Mrs. Brandeck. And he allows the devil to work on the outside. And he says, look at that, I won't go. What was Revelation 22:19? Don't take away. Otherwise the plagues. And the prophet says, plague struck my heart. And all the trouble that he went through. Similarly, when he went to South Africa, what happened? There's the vision. There's a channel of the vision. There's the people of the vision. What was the vision? Go to Johannesburg. Then to Sydney Jackson. Yeah. Then to Durban, I'll give you the country. He goes and gets involved with all these people that are part of the vision. And now there's all these thousands of people gathering in Johannesburg. And what does Brother So-and-so say? No, we're going to take you down to Clark's door. Because we promised Brother So-and-so you're going to preach in his church. The prophet says, how big is his church? I can fit you a few hundred people. The prophet says, we've got tens of thousands here. People have come with buses. They've come with trains to Johannesburg. Here we've got the favor even of the press, even the mayor of the city. And he wanted to take us out from here, the vision, and take us down to Clark's door. Where are we going to put the people? They go down. You know how it works out. Yeah. The prophet tells them, we're stepping out of the will of God. Brother Bosworth and them saying, you'll see the glory of God. Goes down there, but the first night, what happens? There's a thunderstorm. It rains the whole place out. They can't have a meeting. The next day, a cold spell comes in and it snows. And people from South Africa know how rare snow is in Johannesburg around that area. There comes a blizzard. And the prophet says, brethren, you're out of the will of God. Continue in this channel. The next thing's coming, an earthquake. And now the brethren get scared when they hear about an earthquake. And they say, can't you go and ask the Lord a little bit about this? And the Lord says, you'll go, but you'll pay. Why? Because he's taken away from the vision. And what happens? Plague strikes. It's his first gilligot. Amoeba, dysentery. Then the whole party, not just the prophet. Like when Jonah, when the word came and opened up that prophetic channel to him and said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And preach what I've told you to preach. And the man says, I'm not going to go to Nineveh. The people don't appreciate me there. These are Gentiles. Gets on the boat and he goes to Spain, to Tarshish. The Lord looks down and says, oh, you think you're smart. And what happens? The storm comes. The plagues. God starts bringing the trouble in life. God starts bringing these kind of things. And it's not Jonah who realizes at first that things aren't good. The man's sleeping down in the bottom of the boat. Now the men are throwing all their cargo overboard. All this man's life savings. All the wheat. And all that's going on. Why? Because there's one man not walking in the vision. There's a man that God has a secret, a mystery for his life. Has a purpose that he called him for. And the man's putting emphasis on other things. On his own feelings, on his own reputation and things like that. But then the moment now that Jonah repents, and God now has an express to take him back and get him back in the land of his calling, what happens? He moves back in the channel. The voice comes back once again, go to Nineveh and preach. He gets, there's such a revival that the king puts on sackcloth. The whole city repents, even to the beast they put sackcloth on. Friends, that's the power of it.
Amen.
And that's why the prophet's saying, be careful, because Satan's going to work on this outside something, which includes your memory, your reasoning, your feelings, your emotions. You're going to think back, but oh, sister so-and-so said that, and then brother so-and-so said that. I don't think I want to do songs anymore. No, I don't want to do this anymore. And then you find a person, they leave now, the prophetic channel of their calling, they're going to sit down. And what happens? Things don't go well inside of your life. And that's the grace of God.
Amen.
Because God is trying to minister back into a balance. But before that time, like with the prophet in questions and answers, God will try to send his word to minister you back into the balance. To minister you back into that channel now of your calling. That's what he desires us to be. And that's why he speaks about this lady here. He says, you know, Now listen how he says about being what God wants you to be. He says, on a few pages back, he says, think of the Pentecostal people. You'll understand here why I differ with you, praising the idea that they must all speak your tongue. He says, I like cherry pie. But there's no need. I'm a human being. There's no need of me trying to tell you. If you don't eat cherry pie, you're not a human being.
Mm.
It's a simple example, but it's very important.
That's right.
Because some people's bodies have allergies to things.
Mm.
You may eat cherry pie and have a reaction. And they make you vomit, he's going to say that here. But you see somebody else eating cherry pie, now you're trying to copy what they are. You're trying to copy something that blesses them. So you try to force yourself to eat cherry pie, but God never made your constitution to be able to handle cherry pie. He says that. So this is not even me trying to tell you. If you don't eat cherry pie, you're not a human being. Eating cherry pie is just one of the habits of a human being.
Mm.
He says, you may disagree with me on that, but it's true. Now, one will eat this and one will eat something else. Now, if the Holy Spirit is the one that appointed these
offices,
but when you try to force yourself into it, if you said you had to eat cherry pie, what if cherry pie made you vomit? And you would eat and vomit and eat and vomit, you're only hurting yourself.
Mm.
That's the way you try to do when you try to force yourself to do something that's contrary to the Spirit.
Mm. Amen.
I can't be someone else.
Mm.
I might look at someone else and God uses this person in a certain way, God uses that person in a certain way. God never made me like that.
Mm.
The channel of my natural birth, the channel of my nature when I was born, the star I was born under, the temperament, the genetics that I got from my parents, that only equip me to do or handle what that person is doing. But that person can't do what I'm doing.
Mm.
You've got to find the channel of your own conduct. Now listen to how he summarizes it. The prophet says, he's got your life allotted for a certain thing.
Mm.
He's allotted your life to a certain thing.
Amen.
Right from before you were born. Then you came on the scene. He's had events moving. He's been even moving kingdoms, nations, peoples, yeah, to bring you to your calling. To bring you so that you're in the right place at the right time. Among the right people. You in your position, friends. What a glorious thing that is.
Amen.
What a glorious thing that is. The prophet then he says, notice if every person in here was in perfect harmony with the Holy Spirit, if every one of you was filled with the Holy Ghost, and in harmony with the Holy Ghost, these signs will just be multiplying everywhere. He's given us a clue. He says, you might be full of the Holy Spirit, but you're not in harmony with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Many times we get out of harmony with the Holy Ghost, don't we?
Mm.
Yeah? You might really be a born-again believer, full of the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
But in order to see the full manifestation, what's he saying? You've got to bring yourself in harmony with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You've got to move in harmony with them. And like I'm saying, there were times, those seasons, the prophet, in his sincerity, but he was pulled out of harmony with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And then he had to learn those lessons that, yes, I appreciate everybody else, but hey, there's one that's supreme.
Amen.
There's one that's the absolute. There's one that I need to follow, and he's the one that called me unto these things. You know, and that's how the prophet was. So the prophet says, that's when there's confusion. When there's difference, when you get ourselves set up and the Holy Spirit can't move itself.
Amen.
Oh, friends, that's why we need the ministry.
Amen.
That's why we need the message of the hour.
Amen.
Listen to this other question here, just to show how simple that it can be. The very first question in 6408, when he answers these questions, is from Matthew 24:19.
Mm.
A question that Jesus said, woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. He says, what does that mean? And the prophet says, you've got to be very, very careful with prophecy. He says, they came to Jesus and they asked him three questions. And he answered their three questions. The first thing they ask is, when shall it be that these things, not one stone will be left upon
another,
the days of vengeance upon Jerusalem, when shall it be that that shall come to pass? So he's going to answer that. Then, and what shall be the sign of your coming. What will be the sign of your coming? Not yet your coming, but what is the sign of your coming?
Amen.
Yeah. And then what will be the time of the end?
Mm.
You see, now the prophet, he goes to show the Seventh Adventists, they misapplied that. Because Jesus said to them, he says, when you see that day of vengeance come, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And the Seventh Adventist said, you see, you've got to keep the Sabbath. Yeah. But that wasn't for us.
Mm.
Amen.
That was for the Jews.
Yes.
He explains
that
on the Sabbath day, the city gates were closed.
Yes.
Mm.
So if the Romans had have come on the Sabbath and the Christians were in the city, the gates wouldn't have been open, they would have been stuck in the city. So Jesus said, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, Jesus said. Because they're going to have to flee into the Judean hills. And if it's in winter, imagine them trying to find refuge in the midst of the cold, snowy winter. You see, so if you have to apply that rightly, divide that portion of the word, has nothing to do with us. But there's another portion of the word that has to do with us.
Amen.
Where the carcass is, there shall the eagles be kept.
Amen.
Amen.
Then you shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud.
Amen.
And in great glory. So there's that portion now that we... Now, like I say, if you went and sat out in the wilderness and lived your whole life and prayed every day and tried to understand this Bible, you would never have understood it.
That's right.
God had to send us divine interpretation of the written word.
Mm.
That's the key. Somebody the other day was sending something around and what? Some critic of the message said, Brother Branham, you never really prophesied many things of the future that came to pass. And the first thing I thought, well, what about the seven visions?
Mm.
Hallelujah!
But that point is important. Why? We didn't need a prophet to come and prophesy so many things in the future. Why? There's not going to be a future.
Amen.
Who's going to write the history of these things?
Amen.
We didn't need that. That wasn't the real calling of the prophet. Every prophetic vision and revelation is already in the air.
Amen.
But we needed a prophet to come. That's why he goes to show us in question and answer that a prophet has a twofold function. One is he can foretell. He can say, Los Angeles, thou that calls yourself by the city of the angels. He'll tell something before it happens. But the prophet says, but the more important one is telling forth. And telling forth is the divine interpretation of the word.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the most important function of a prophet. Is not only to say, thus saith the Lord, this will happen, but to come and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled.
Amen.
It's that. This is that which was spoken of.
Right.
That's what we needed in our age. Friends, and that's where there's the power in the message. The power in the message isn't, yes, we appreciate the prophecies that the prophet gave, but there's not so many of them. But the prophet coming now to give us God's own divine interpretation of God's written word.
Amen.
That's what we need in this age.
Amen.
Because we've been through the ages of the man. Yeah. We've been through the church ages. Man's put his interpretation, put his understanding, put his ideas. So God now at the end has to send the prophet. Has to open the prophetic channel. And he does foretell. But the main thing that he does is tells forth. He says, this is what the first seal is. The white horse says, this is what the sixth seal is. This is who's under the fifth seal. He divides now between the foolish virgin and the wise virgin. He divides between the church and the bride. There's so many different things, friends, that we take it for granted. But the people out there have no understanding.
That's right.
Sincere people in the denominations, they're applying things which are for the Jews to the church.
Amen.
Listen to this question here. When he speaks about the latter rain, this person asks, will there be great signs and wonders under the latter rain? Or is this for the 144,000? The prophet says, all of these things happen for examples in the Old Testament. The prophet says, the only way I can teach is by typology, which is the same as Jesus. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah. Yeah, that's typology.
Amen.
The prophet says, these things were written for examples. He says, let's go back and look in the days of Abraham. That's our perfect type.
Amen.
Yeah? Look what was happening in the camp of Abraham. Melchizedek was coming up.
Mm.
He was breaking the bread and wine. There came the revelation of the covenant. There came all these different things until finally there came the ministry of the Son of Man. Genesis 18. But what was happening down inside? Was there a great revival taking place that Solomon was being converted to the Lord? Is that the day that we're living in? Not at all. And the prophet shows us in this question. That's why I love the prophet, because if we have a false expectation about things, we can get disappointed.
Mm.
That's why I read the scripture of the men on the way to Emmaus. They had a false expectation about things. They thought he's coming to set up his kingdom. We thought this was the one that was going to deliver Israel. And Jesus had to come and minister them into a balance. Minister them into the correct channel for the age and say, that's not what it is. And starting with Moses and going through all of the prophets now, he now gave the divine interpretation of the word for the age. And then now their hearts start to burn within and they start to, there's nothing wrong at all.
Amen.
Nothing's going on. This is exactly the way it was prophesied that it has to
Amen.
Be.
Amen.
So friends, if we come to Ireland, are you expecting the whole of Dublin to repent? That would be wonderful, isn't it? Good. But friends, you'd be breaking the shadows and the types. Because our shadows and types are rare. Two young men get into the city, no one play the tapes, the prophet says. Here comes somebody, born again, bringing their family, bringing their friends. A church starts inside of their house. Is that not the scriptural order for our age? This now explains it using Abraham. He says, what you see happen in the Old Testament, it's just a reflection of what happens in the New. He says, look in the life of Abraham. He says, you will find each of the ages in there. And what was the last sign they had before that promised son they'd been waiting on all these years to come back? Was God standing before the man, discerning the thoughts of Sarah's heart. I believe, this is 64 August, you're seeing the last thing that will happen to the church before the rapture. That's exactly, I believe it. The reign is over. The great worldwide one, yeah? The third pull, friends, it's the apocalypse. The third pull, get in the closet there. People walking out of their crutches. People, do, how did it happen? I don't know. I just went inside of there. Imagine that. He says, just read the first three chapters of Revelation and you'll see what's promised to the church. You notice the other day when we started them trumpets, the Holy Ghost said, that doesn't belong here. Oh my. Now the latter rain, the 144,000 Jews, that's Elijah and Moses. There's where those great miracles take place, where they call the plagues on the nations. You know, all the great shutting of the heavens and all that. And the prophet takes it back to Abraham and says, look in the camp of Abraham. It was powerful happening there. Among Abraham and his 318. But what happened in Sodom? God sent down two angels. And what were them? Billy Graham, Oral Roberts. The charismatics, evangelicals, the prophet, prophesied, they'll come together, and what do? Just blind the eyes of the people. You see, we can sometimes have an expectation, friends, and get disappointed in it. The prophet was very disappointed in 1962. We spoke about it a little bit at the officers' meeting the other day. When he thought all doors were closed, and everything's, the ministry of God called me to, I haven't really fulfilled it. And he preaches present stage of the ministry, and the Lord had to come and minister him into a balance. And say, go and read 2 Timothy 4. I told you to read it when you laid the cornerstone. The time will come when they will not endure for sound doctrine. But the prophet thought he was doing something wrong. But when the Lord now came and opened that channel and came to reveal scripturally the day and time of the prophet said, nothing's out of Peter. This is exactly according to the divine vision. Now, friends, if you listen to any other Christian church, they'll tell you there's a great revival coming. There's a great worldwide revival coming. Millions of people are going to come into the kingdom. They're all expecting that. Where are they getting that? They've misplaced the scripture.
Amen.
Who's never had a prophet? They never had somebody who came down, anointed and commissioned as we had, who would come and rightly divide the word of truth to us. To come and show us now the divine interpretation, God's interpretation of his written word with vindication. Friend, it might seem like a simple thing, but that's a very powerful thing.
That is, brother, very powerful.
God has given us a very powerful resource. Like I'm saying, just go and listen to your over 64 questions and answers. Just go through them again. There's such atomic power in there. Every one of these schisms and stuff in the message, the prophet blasted it in there.
Amen.
Every one of these things that people, Thunus has taken these people out in the desert. Judas has taken these people out in the desert. Like in the days of before Jesus, you will find that the word, God had already given the word to put it right.
Amen.
And if we can just move in that channel,
amen,
and allow him to keep us in that balance, friends, that's God's way of doing things.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll finish off with this. I listened to Perry Green once, some time back. I mentioned it here from the pulpit about the importance of realizing when God sends a prophet. And when God now opens that prophetic channel, it is vital. Lot didn't realize it. He never appreciated who his uncle was. And look what it cost him. Now this is the story about the Armenian genocide. I've spoken of this once before. The year was 1853. The name of the boy was Efim Klubnikin. He was a Russian. He had never gone to school. He could not read or write. His family were part of the Pentecostal churches in Russia. So they were part of the message of the day. God was moving, and these Russian believers, they came into God's move in that day. And they moved to Armenia. The Armenians were mostly Presbyterians and Orthodox. But Efim, his family, immigrated to Armenia before 1853. While still a child, Ephraim spent much time in prayer. Sometimes praying whole days and nights. Sometimes praying and fasting non-stop several days at a time. So he had a prophetic calling upon him, a gift of prophecy. In 1853, when he was 11 years old, the Lord called Ephraim to another prayer vigil. 11 years old. This time it lasted 7 days. He just drank, he didn't eat, he didn't sleep for 7 days when he was under this anointing, around the clock. And at this time he had some astonishing visions and revelations. In a vision, Ephraim saw a message written in the Russian language, but he couldn't read. But being uneducated, he was unable to read it. Also, he saw some charts and maps in the vision. So he promptly asked for a paper and a pen. And though he could not read the messages, he could copy them. So he started to copy now the writing, copy now the charts. Painstakingly he copied and reproduced what he saw in the vision. He also copied the charts and maps that he had seen. At the end of the 7 days, when he finished copying the messages, he took it to some of the people that could read. And they read it to him and shared the message with the village. The message shocked the whole community. For the message said there would come a time when all of the Armenians, along with their Russian neighbors, would have to flee to another country or they'd all be slaughtered and killed. However, after several decades, imagine, the prophecy went forth. But it was several decades, this had not happened. There was no slaughter in the community. And many in the community doubted that the prophecy was genuine. A few believed it, but they were not convinced that the time had come to flee. Some ridiculed Ephraim, saying, anyone who doesn't eat or sleep for a week is bound to see things. But they could not explain how an uneducated boy could see a message in the Russian language.
Amen. Amen.
Now, friend, to me, you'll see this. It's like a little shadow of our age. Because he has an uneducated boy. And here God is revealing himself to this young boy in visions, the prophet. And the prophet now comes and he brings a message of our age. He says, however, so some accused him of fraud. The map showed the place they were to flee to. Studying the maps, the more educated people realized that the place they was to flee to was clearly America. The message said they were not to stop on the East Coast, New York, but were to travel to the West Coast, to California. And this is powerful because the time they went, just as they got there, there was Azusa Street. He says, so God ministered them from where they were, and he took them back into the next message. He moved them on in the spirit.
Amen.
They realized they would go to California. Now, he also copied a second message that was just as shocking. In the more distant future, the Armenian people in California would have to flee persecution a second time. Ephim gave the second message to his parents and told them to seal it up. He said that a day would come when God would raise up a prophet who would break the seal.
Amen.
And read the message to find out which countries the Armenians should flee from California.
Mm.
And Ephim gave them this message. If anyone else broke the seal and read the message, except the prophet that God had appointed, he would die. Friends, we're living in the day of the unseen. Friends.
Amen.
Every time news of fresh political trouble reached the tranquil hills around where they lived, they would get out the now yellowed pages of the prophecy and read them again. Troubles between the Muslim Turks and the Christian Armenians seemed to be growing in intensity. And in 1896, persecution did arise when he was 54 years old. 6,000 Armenians were slaughtered in Istanbul. Finally, about 1902, Ephim, now 60 years old, told the people in his village the time to flee had come. Few did. Ephim's family was among the first to go to California. The slaughter came in 1914, just as the First World War started. There were over 1 million Armenians massacred by the Muslim Turks. To this day, Armenia speaks about the Turks. When the slaughter came, the few Armenians who hadn't traveled, because this Ephim, his entire village was wiped out. There were 4,000 people out of the whole of Armenia that were saved. And every single one of them were the people that had listened to the same voice. That when the channel opened up and the warning came, like when Jesus said to his disciples, when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, flee. If you're on the rooftop, don't go into your house to get your things. If you're out in the fields, don't go back into the city. Just flee to the hills. And you go and read history, and it exactly happened. And the Romans came and surrounded Jerusalem. And the Christians were in Jerusalem. And I think his name was Cestius. He was the Roman general. For some reason, he withdrew his 20,000 troops for a season. And the Jewish, the rebellious Jews, they pursued after those Romans to fight against them. And the Christians in Jerusalem had a gap they could get out. Because no one would have let them get out. And at that time there came prophecy among the Christians. An oracle spoke. A man of the gift of prophet says, now is the time. We need to go. We need to flee to a town by the name of Pella across the Jordan River. And every one of the Christians, not a single Christian,
amen,
was caught in Jerusalem.
Amen.
When now there came that gap, that window of opportunity that I was trying to move now, they moved. That's the power of prophecy.
Amen.
Now, with the rest of the Armenians, what the Turks did, they gathered them in big camps and then started leading the men, women, and children right out into the desert and left them there without food or water. And more than 1 million perished. Many of them, they put them in barns, they put them in buildings, and they burnt them alive. But so many times they gave the Christians, the Presbyterians, and those ones, the option of denying their faith in exchange for their lives. They would lock a group of Christians in a barn, set it on fire, If you're willing to accept Muhammad in place of Christ, we'll open the doors for you. Time and again, the Christians chose to die.
Amen.
Chanting hymns of praise as the flames engulfed. What's that a type of, friends? The tribulation. There's going to be people, friends, that have missed this prophetic visitation. There's going to be people, friends, they're sincere people, and they're going to have an opportunity, but the only way they're going to make it in is the way that these people made it in. The prophet says, like Lot, they'll have to come through the fire. Today, Elam's family in California is carefully preserving the second message. Still sealed, awaiting the day that God will raise up a prophet to break the seal and read the news. Now, do you know who this man's ancestor was? It was Dima Shakerin. Dima Shakerin, the leader of the full gospel businessman. He became the custodian of this prophecy of Ephraim. And here was a prophet.
Amen.
And God raised up a prophet. And God brought this prophet right in the midst of the full gospel businessman's people. Here was the man that was ordained to these things. My friend, they never recognized the prophet.
Yes.
Who he was. And up to today, that warning is still sealed. And Perry Green said it one minute when I listened to this testimony once years back, and he said, I firmly believe that if those people had that unsealed, given it to the prophet, it would have been exactly the same prophecy that the prophet gave in part of Los Angeles. That the Christians, they need to flee that place. Friend, it's going to cost them a lot. And this story came out in the newspaper the other day, if you saw it. Who knows Kim Kardashian? You know, that famous actress, whatever that she is. Her ancestors were part of the 4,000 that were saved. And she wants now to go back to Armenia to find out, how did my ancestors, Armenians, survive and all of the rest of the people perish? And it was absolutely the grace of God by opening up a prophetic channel for her ancestors in the day. And when the channel opened up, what did they do? Did they listen to the outside? No. They followed that leadership of the Spirit. And as they followed that leadership of the Spirit, the Lord led them now to safety. And they moved across to California. The Lord said, I'll bless you there, and I'll make your blessing to the nations. Dima Shakerin started his dairy farm there. You know, his Dima Shakerin's father started a dairy farm. It became the biggest dairy farm in the world, there in California. And God really prospered them and blessed them and took them through that Azusa revival. Friends, God has given us such a resource.
Amen.
He's opened such a spiritual channel to us.
Amen.
Now, let's not be like the men on the way to Emmaus, that have our own understanding of things and have our own expectation of things. God has given us a divine interpretation of the written word.
Amen.
The prophet says, that which is perfect has come. With vindication.
Amen.
As you enter into this year, whatever the calling God has given you in your life, whatever God's vision and prophecy for you, let that be first inside of you.
Amen.
That if God works in that channel in your life like these people, move when the Spirit says move. Don't worry about looking at the outward circumstance and letting things hold you back. Satan's going to work on the outward. He's going to do everything that he possibly can. But if you want this year to be a year of vision, to be a year of divine progress, to be a year that you walk with God to the next stage inside of your calling, friend, that's the key. Put the focus where the focus needs to
be.
And we as a church, the same thing. Friend, God has a body moving in the church. He has people in a certain place at a certain time to fulfill a certain vision. Let's come on Friday. This week on Friday, we've got our day of fasting and prayer for seeking the Lord for this month that lays before us. Let's really come, each and every one of us, let's come and seek the Lord to move us and lead us and guide us and open up things into the next stage that God wants us to move. And I really encourage each and every person to play a part. Don't be a fringe believer. Don't be a Sunday-only kind of a person. You know, that you just come in and, no. God has a place. God has a position. God has a call. God has a purpose for you.
Amen.
Let's just come to musicians. Let's just come to a time of worship. As we just consider, you might have had a time inside of your life when the vision was really clear, but you find the vision isn't what it used to be. You might have a time before where you were greatly enthused, but something came in and you lost that enthusiasm. Why not just trace back as we worship inside of your mind to the very place and the time and the circumstances that brought you into that situation that you're in. And ask the Lord and say, Lord, take me back. Take me back to the place where I first met you. And you'll find him where you left him.
Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first.
I've wasted many precious years. Lord Savior, promising, Lord Savior, to be faithful, Father. Giving, Lord Various ways. Michelle.
Let's remember this.
Someone singing, Lord, Kumbaya.
Someone's praying, Lord, kumbaya.
Someone's praying, Lord.
Someone's praying, my Lord, kumbaya. Someone's praying, Lord, kumbaya.
Someone's praying,
Lord, kumbaya. Kumbaya. Set down a marker for this year. And Lord, how we pray to you, O God. We pray in your presence now, Lord. Father, that Lord, you, Father, reach down into our hearts. Lord, make us soft in our hearts, Lord. Father, we pray that, Lord God, you cast away reasoning.
Father God, let the outside man not have preeminence at this time. Father, so that this word, Lord, which was ministered today, Father God, prophetic word, Lord God, your word for this age, your word for each and every one of our lives, Father, let it find its resting place in our souls. Father God, so that it can minister, Lord, spiritual health to us, Lord. Father, we need you now, Lord God. Father, Lord, you who have anointed our brother to bring us a word like this, Lord, were it not necessary. Father God, and even how you showed us, Lord, in the morning. Father, Lord, that you are absolute. Let that be real in the lives of your people, Lord. Father, so that when the enemy comes, we wouldn't be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. We wouldn't be tossed about, Lord, by trial, by testing, Lord. But instead, Lord, we go back to the absolute, which speaks to us, Lord, that we should count it all joy. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, we pray, O Lord, with a fervent desire in our heart, Lord, that, Lord, let our hearts just receive this word. Let the word not fall by the wayside. Amen. Let it not fall on thorny ground, Lord, so that it doesn't take hold. But, Lord, give us grace so that we meditate upon it. Lord, let this be our daily bread, O God. Father, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, because you're the one who gives it, Father. Heavenly Father, we look into you. Father, Lord, God, even Lord, Father, for healing, Lord, in the body. Father, there's many who are not well. We see many are not here. Lord God, we pray even for Brother Shepherd at this time. Father God, be merciful to him in all things. Father, Lord, at this time he needs a touch in his health, Lord. Father, Satan has hindered him to be here, Lord, amongst his brothers and sisters, Lord, Father, in his post of duty. But we pray, Lord God, that let this not be so at the next service. Father God, Lord, lift him up from that bed of affliction. Lord, minister to his soul, Lord God, to rise up, Lord God, in faith. Lord, to accept his healing, O God. Lord, you know the challenges of his life that he meets at this time. How Satan would want to take advantage, Lord God, to afflict him with ill health. Lord, be merciful to thy servant, Lord. Father God, Lord, we look into you even with the request brought for Christina, Lord, in Belgium. Father God, we don't know her, Lord, but Father, you know her. For you've seen her, Lord God, from the beginning. And Lord, you put it, Lord, the sister has confidence, Lord. Not confidence in men or women, Lord, but confidence in the commission which you've given us. You said, Lord God, that, Lord, where two or three, Lord God, will agree on anything here on earth, Father God, Lord, it will be bound even in heaven. Amen. So, Lord, we want to join our faith together. Amen. On behalf of our sister Christina. Yes. Lord God, Father, that you touch her. And, Lord, touch her in a way that she'll know, Father God, that it's you that healed her, O God. Amen. Father, in the same breath, Lord God, we bring Michelle upon thee, unto thee, O God. Father, you know her life, Father. Amen. And you see, Lord God, how just a young woman, Lord, Father, Satan has wreaked havoc inside of her life. And Lord God, she's at the point of passing from this life to the next. But Lord, we look to you, Father, because you're the life giver. Amen. Father God, Lord, we ask you not just to heal her body, but more so, Lord God, we, Father, desire that you'd heal her soul, Lord God. Amen. Father, because you could heal her body today, and then tomorrow she'd be hit by a car, Lord. But oh God, if that soul, Lord, is sealed in with you, Father God, Lord, then we know that, Lord God, all is well. Amen. So we're praying for her, Lord. She's too weak to even pray for herself. But she has asked us, Lord God, Father, Lord, to lift up, Lord, her name before your presence, Lord. Amen. And we know you are God who's rich in mercy. So, Lord, we look into you at this time, oh God. Please touch her is our prayer.
Amen.
Father God, Lord, we look to you. We pray that you'd be mindful of her family, Lord, and those around her. Oh Lord, that in healing her, Lord God, you'd show that you are the living God.
Amen.
Father, that you're God, whose Father you're with us, oh Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord, you promised, oh God, Father, that where this message is preached, Lord, you'll back it up.
Amen.
So Lord God, we ask you for grace and mercy, Lord, with that assurance, oh Lord. Father, I want to bring up before thee now even our pastor. Father God, we're so thankful, Lord God, for the way you have made him, Lord God, and we thankful, Lord, for his faithfulness, Lord God, in ministering the word to your people. We thank you, Lord God, for his family, Lord. Father, and how, Lord God, the challenges he has to face, Lord. Father, but we're praying and we're lifting him up now. Father, Lord God, physically, Lord, Satan desires, Lord, to afflict him with illness, Lord, and in health. Oh God, we pray for grace and mercy, Father. Lord God, Father, we pray that you renew the strength, Lord God, of thy servant, even as you have promised according to your word, Lord. Father, touch him in a special way, especially now at the beginning of the year, Lord God. Father, may his strength be renewed, Lord God, that he may work for thee in this year laying ahead, oh God. Father, give him grace, give him mercies. Lord, even young Daniel at home, oh Lord. Father, Lord, you know how his heart is tender toward you, oh Lord. Father, how he looks to you for everything. So, Lord, even in this occasion, touch him is our prayer, Lord. Heal the boy, Lord God. Give him grace and mercy, Lord, that he may rise up and worship you, Lord. Father, we look into you, Father God, with an assurance that which we ask, you said, Lord, if we ask you and we don't doubt in our hearts, Lord, you'd give it to us. So we thank you, Lord, for all these things we brought before you, Lord. Father God, Lord, may your name be exalted and glorified, Lord. We look to you, Lord God, for all things. Father, Lord, even now before we go, Lord, you know the purposes of our hearts in the year ahead. Father God, we desire to build a house, Lord God, which we'll dedicate to you, Lord. Father God, Lord, where we can work, Lord God, in your leadership, Father. Lord, that we wouldn't be ransomed by any man, Lord. Father, but we'll be guided by the Holy Spirit, Lord. So we pray, Lord, for grace that you'd strengthen our hands. Lord, we pray that you'd put, Lord, a purpose in our hearts that's unshakable, Lord. Father God, Lord, that the efforts of your children, Lord, may you bless them and reward. We need your encouragement, Lord, in this endeavor, Lord. So we're committing it back unto thee, Father. Lord, be with us in all things, Lord. Help us in all things, Father God. We're thankful for all that you've done, all that you've given us, Lord. We pray for, Lord, even the ministries, the brothers, Lord, here supporting our pastor. Lord, we appreciate them, each one. Father God, and we look so much to you to continue to use them, O Lord, to bless them in every way. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for those in Sunday school, Lord, bless them, Lord. We thank you for the young people here, Lord, the musicians, Lord God. Father, we pray that you'd help them continue to bless them, Father God, Lord. Be with us in all things, Lord. You know the things we desire, Lord. Father, we look into you. We have confidence in you and you alone. And Lord God, if we continue in the absolute, Father, if we continue, Lord, in that which you've shown us, all will be well.
Amen.
So be with us, Lord. You brought us here safely. Father God, Lord, be with us as we go home. Minister to us, Lord, in our fellowships and in all that we'll do. We give thanks and glory and praise unto thee once again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.